Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Elisa Music reporting for KMUD with my co-host Lauren Schmidt. In tonight's news, drive-thru tree clerk robbed at gunpoint, Cal Poly Humboldt student protesters and law enforcement clash, and the search continues for one missing in Trinity River. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up.
The Hoopa Tribal Police continue their search for a missing teenager who was last seen just before 4 p.m. Monday afternoon. The teen was reportedly swept under the Trinity River near the Tish Tang campground while attempting to rescue another teenager. For more details, we spoke with Hoopa Tribe's police chief, Rolando Ramos.
Yesterday, approximately 3:30 in the afternoon, a group of two couples from Fortuna came to the Tish Tang campground. One of the young individuals jumped in the river, not knowing the temperature, not knowing how strong the currents were. Jumped in the river and she pulled down into the currents. Two of her companions jumped in the water and trying to rescue her. And they were also pulled into the riptide. The first individual and one of the second individuals were able to relax and were shot out of the water. The riptide and came out further downriver where they were able to get to the sides of the river. The third individual was seen to come up out of water, but then was pulled back down and hasn't been seen since. The two first individuals were rescued within 15, 20 minutes. A passing fisherman was raked down by responding officers or first responding officers, which were the county sheriff's office, Humboldt County Sheriff's. They waved down a passing fisherman who recovered the two individuals that had come up out of the water.
Hoopa Police and the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office have deployed their boats and received air support from the CHP and Coast Guard in search for the missing teenager. According to Chief Ramos, when family members arrived on scene, another incident occurred.
Approximately 7:30, we had family come. One of the family members jumped in the water, got caught in the riptide as well, but we were able to rescue him. That was around 7-ish, 7:30 last night, and he ended up in the hospital.
In total, three rescues were successfully conducted, but one teenager remains missing. The search is believed to have now turned into a recovery effort.
Of the original four, three went in the water, one stayed out. Then later in the evening, family members came. One of the family members ended up trying to possibly reach the point where the individual was last seen. But he got pulled into the riptide as well.
Yesterday's search was concluded due to darkness.
And we resumed this morning, approximately 7 o'clock. We had two of my boats, which were Hoopa Valley Tribal Police boats, and Humboldt County Sheriff's Office had two of theirs, again with support from Coast Guard and CHP. And just recently, Yuba County Sheriff's Office arrived, and they have a boat with some sonar equipment. We're hoping that that'll help.
Last week, the National Weather Service in Eureka issued an alert reminding the public that rivers are very cold and swift at this time of year. Cold water and swift currents can overpower any swimmer, and hazards like submerged trees can trap people under the surface.
Right now, the temperature of the water is in the 40s. And that's with the sun beaming down on it. It's colder as the evening progresses. And the riptide right now, this time of season, it's cleaning out the water. And we also had a release from the dam that's also pushing additional levels of water through the river. It's a very dangerous situation. Our local fishermen aren't even fishing at this point because of how strong the currents are. So we strongly advise the public to stay away from swimming or attempting to enter the water at any point at this point.
Chief Ramos stated that rescue and recovery crews will remain active through this evening and tomorrow.
We may do one more day, seeing, you know, what types of resources we can pull in, additional resources, but this may go one more day. If you are on near the river and you see anything that may resemble an individual floating or stuck anywhere, please call us.
The names of the victims have not been released at this time. Any community member who may locate the missing individual in the Tishtang area of the Trinity River in the Hoopa Valley are asked to call the Hoopa Tribal Police at 530-625-4202.
Humboldt County's pot cops, known as MET, Marijuana Enforcement Team, were in the Berry Summit area of Humboldt County off of Highway 299 last week. MET deputies were assisted by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and Humboldt County's Hazardous Waste. We reached out to MET for details on the eradication efforts and environmental damages associated with the busted indoor cultivation site.
So MET is the marijuana enforcement team for the county. We have two deputies, and I'm the supervisor. I'm Lieutenant Conan Moore with the Sheriff's Office. So on the 17th of April, 2024, MET, along with Fish and Wildlife and County Hazmat, responded to a property in the area of Berry Summit, eastern portion of the county. We investigated one parcel. This parcel did not have the required county or state licenses to cultivate cannabis commercially. During the service of our search warrant, we located and eradicated 8,334 growing marijuana plants. We seized and destroyed 75 pounds of cannabis bud, 55 pounds of cannabis shake, and 74 pounds of processed cannabis. We located two large diesel tanks that were leaking fuel onto the ground, along with several large oil spills. And then Fish and Wildlife biologists located four violations of obstructing and diverting the flow of a stream, which is Fish and Game 1602. They also located 10 Fish and Game 5650s, which is the unlawful to pollute into state waters, and also seven violations of Fish and Game 5652, which is the unlawful deposit of garbage or waste into state waters. We did not arrest anybody on scene, as we didn't find anybody, but we are referring the case to the DA's office for prosecution.
Lieutenant Moore shared that indoor cultivation is seemingly on the rise again.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely starting to see another increase. I mean, over the years, we've seen the diesel grows and big grows like this, and then they kind of went away, and now there seems like they're starting to come back. But almost every time when we do find these big outdoor diesel grows, just because of the nature of the generators, the diesel fuel, all that stuff, they have a lot more pollution violations that go along with these grows.
Though this particular parcel has not had any previous marijuana eradication efforts known to Moore, the perpetrators are known assailants to the MET team. The Humboldt County Lieutenant shared the next steps in this case, including possible parcel remediation.
So now what will happen is we file a charge with the DA's office on our end. Fish and Wildlife will send the property owner an NOV and try to work with the property owner to get it cleaned up. If the property owner, which sometimes happens, is unwilling to respond or to do the cleanup themselves, then they will have their state's attorney possibly take the case, at which time they will try to get the property cleaned up, or at least try to get money to where Fish and Wildlife can get a company to go out and clean up the sites. I mean, in the for Met, I know Fish and Game did well, but for Met, our big thing, that's all we want is when we get to these sites, is we want them to be cleaned up. We're not looking to put people in prison or do any of that, but we just want to get the violations cleaned up, because all these streams and creeks go into our waterways, which everybody has their family in the summertime playing in the water, and we, most communities, drink from these waterways. So,
in a parting message to cannabis industry workers, legal or otherwise, Moore shared a particular focus for the county's Met efforts, asking for industry workers to be vigilant in fighting an adjacent labor crime.
What we're seeing this last few years is human trafficking on a labor trafficking scale, and that's something we're really focusing on. So, I mean, I don't, for growers, workers, anybody, but if they know of people that are being labor trafficked or sexually trafficked, to please contact the sheriff's office. We'd like to speak with them. We're trying to get help to these people and see if we can get them resources and get them help in getting out of these situations.
No arrests were made during the operation, but the case will be reviewed by the DA's office. Additional violations with civil fines are anticipated to be filed by the assisting agencies. Individuals with information about this case or related criminal activity are encouraged to contact the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office at 707-445-7251 or by contacting the Sheriff's Office Crime Tip Line at 707-268-2539.
Monday evening, a major protest broke out on the Cal Poly Humboldt campus, which has closed the university until at least Wednesday, April 24th. Approximately 150 to 200 students started protesting on the campus as part of a national movement showing solidarity for Palestine. Students began occupying the university's administrative building, Siemens Hall, and barricading its doors.
The whole experience was quite intense and tense at times.
That was Redheaded Black Belt reporter Ryan Hudson, who was inside the barricade with the students. She explained what unfolded.
As things progressed, it just became increasingly tense, and they intended to do what I understood to be an all-night sit-in. They were there with tents and sleeping bags and snacks and supplies, not a whole lot of food or water or anything, but they were ready for camping out, basically, in the building.
Swaths of supporters and protesters would gather outside of the hall. However, those inside would soon have a violent encounter with police. Ryan Hudson was barricaded inside with the protesters and captured the moment police and students clashed. Police can be seen entering the barricaded door, removing furniture that had been overturned in the doorway. Police from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, Arcata Police, and University Police were wearing riot gear with police shields. Protesters began chanting, "We are not afraid of you," and then pushed back with their bodies against the police who attempted to enter. While the students were pushing back, one of the officers in the corner can be seen using a baton to hit a student over the head, at which point one protester retaliated and hit an adjacent officer with an empty 5-gallon water jug. That tense exchange lasts for minutes until the police would retreat back outside of the building. After hours of chanting, "De-escalate by leaving," at police, they did just that. By 10:55 p.m., all law enforcement had disbanded from the campus.
The crowd outside just grew and grew and grew, and pretty soon it was kind of two protests almost engaging from on opposite sides of that door. The protesters on the outside and the students on the outside were rallying in support of the students barricaded on the inside.
KMUD reporter Kelly Lincoln was also on scene and spoke with the student.
So folks were trying to have a Seder at sundown and be in solidarity with the immediate ceasefire and land back and end of the Israeli occupation of Palestine and the Israeli apartheid state. And the state of Israel is not the same as Jewish people, and a lot of people, Jewish people, denounce the state of Israel and their genocidal tactics and say not in our names and in the apartheid now. I don't think that being against genocide is anti-Semitic at all. I think that never again means for everybody. I feel like a lot of the leaders and loud student voices that we're hearing right now are Jewish themselves. This event started as a Seder at sundown because it's Passover. So to call Jewish students anti-Semitic because they're calling for an immediate ceasefire and the end of a genocide is really convoluted and like twisting of words, because to be anti-genocide is not anti-Semitic. And if anything, Jewish people know that even more because they've had to go under their own genocide. We're standing in solidarity with indigenous people all over the world, from Palestine to the Wiyot to the Yurok to the Kuruk to Talawa to Hupa, both here and abroad. We want land back for everybody. We want political prisoners to be free. We want the students to be able to protest peacefully and not have their freedom of speech and the right to come together and protest. We don't want that right to be taken away. And right now the police are using excessive force. I saw two people get concussions and bleed from their heads. And there's shotguns, there's automatic assault rifles, there's rubber bullets, there's some tear gas bullets that they're willing to use on us as well.
As of today, April 23rd, dozens of protesters continue to occupy Siemens Hall, having barricaded the entrances following law enforcement's attempted entry. In response, Cal Poly Humboldt canceled all classes and locked down campus buildings through Wednesday, April 24th. University police say they are closely monitoring the situation and express concerns for student safety. Cal Poly Humboldt released the following statement this morning. Quote, at 4:50 p.m., university police received reports of dozens of protesters occupying the first and second floors of Siemens Hall. Classes in Siemens Hall were canceled. Students and faculty from five courses in progress, along with employees, were evacuated. The building was shut down after protesters began disrupting classes and university operations and vandalizing property. Protesters blocked entrances and elevators with tents and at one point secured doors using chains and zip ties at various locations, violating fire codes and creating extreme safety hazards for those inside. Protesters were given multiple warnings and opportunities to exit the building voluntarily. End quote. For an update on what's unfolding today on the Cal Poly campus, we spoke with the student-run publication El Lenador.
My name is Peyton Leone. I'm the editor-in-chief of the newspaper El Lenador. We are a bilingual monthly newspaper at Cal Poly Humboldt. Students are still inside Siemens Hall. All entrances have been blocked by tables, chairs, and chains. There have been deliveries of food and supplies handed through windows to students inside. Prominent spaces on campus were painted with messages in support of Palestinian liberation. Georgina Serta, a graduate student at Cal Poly Humboldt, came to the protest yesterday around 9 p.m. after seeing the live coverage of the protest. I was seeing the brutality of the police, and that's when I decided to come, said Serta. Jasmine Jolly is a student protester outside of Siemens Hall. Jolly made a call to those inside, telling them that people were needed inside the building, and warned those who stepped forward that they were risking bodily injury and arrest. Jolly has been at the protest since 8:30 p.m. of the first day. Definitely a little tired, said Jolly, but I'm also surrounded by incredible people who are holding it down for their community and their loved ones, and for Palestine. This is a massive anti-war movement. I think it's important for us to realize the role that we play as Americans in funding genocide and funding war and funding aggression. And while we may not have control over where our tax dollars go as individuals, by taking action like this, we have control, we have a voice. People are desperately screaming to be listened to here on campus, in the US, in Palestine. And I think that people are starting to listen with the global solidarity movement.
Leone explained that student journalists and media outlets are struggling to get timely information to the public due to the campus being closed.
But the issue we were running into as student journalists is campus was closed starting yesterday, and the announcement said through until Wednesday. So they've locked all doors on buildings, and even doors that I have access to through a key card, the key cards are no longer working. so we cannot access our computers that we use to do reporting. There's also a news station in the same building. This is Gisthol at Kapolei Humboldt. And administration is in there now trying to get those student reporters off air, telling them that they need administration with them on air to monitor what they're saying live.
That student-run radio station is KRFH, and we tuned in earlier. Here is a clip.
We're tuned into 105.1 KRFH LPR Cato Radio Free Humboldt. We are reporting live from Cal Poly Humboldt, taking in any calls with any updates or a need for resources regarding the protests at Siemens Hall. You can call our request line at 707-826-6077. We are here to spread accurate, factual information, just get real updates. From a post earlier from Humboldt for Palestine, I believe that they reached their need for different resources, but they do encourage more people to actually show up. So, yeah, here to spread factual, accurate information. We have someone from administration here in the station with us. We might not be allowed to stay here any longer, but they're still checking up on it. So while they do that, we're going to be sitting here in the booth. I believe that we should be able to be here. We had other DJs try to come into the station. They were escorted away because they didn't have authorization. Yeah, I guess me and two of the other DJs, we got in at a lucky time.
They're currently still live on the air from when I last checked, but I'm sitting outside the building now. The administration advised us not to enter and told us we are not allowed in the building, but that they could update us soon if we're allowed to with supervision to be in there and do our jobs as reporters, but that we are not allowed to enter the building.
Leone is concerned that the university is silencing the voices of the media.
To me, that is not great for student reporting, for First Amendment, for the campus and community to know what is happening here. I think that if not directly trying to silence the voices of student reporters and through that the voices of the students who are in protest right now, it's not great for us, and it's frustrating as I'm trying to lead my team. I have people sitting outside with me ready to help translate and do social media, and we need computers for that. We need our equipment. So our advisor is really amazing in offering her space to us, but there's just not enough equipment that we need our access to.
We also asked if Siemens Hall was strategically chosen by students.
It is, because that is where most of the administration who stays on our campus has offices. That includes our president. There's different budget offices there. Also in the basement, that's where CFA has offices as well. And so yesterday I went inside while students were protesting to do coverage, and they had used paracord to tie some of the doors up, and some doors had chains on them. I followed a group of officers who went and cut the door. For a while they stood there, and this is before the major escalation where people seen videos of like students being arrested and more physical altercations with the police happening outside of the building. But the door was open, and at some point they left and stopped monitoring it, so where more people entered the building, I was able to enter the building with students and take photos from the inside. And students have tents and food, stuff set up to stay in that Siemens Hall building, from what I've heard, until their demands are met.
Cal Poly Humboldt remains closed through Wednesday, according to a memo issued by the university. And we asked Leone if there's any updates, if the closure could be extended.
To be honest, I'm a little bit confused about it, because it says through Wednesday, so from the emails I've received, even in my own classes, that to them means till the end of Wednesday. So I have a class tomorrow that's going to be held on Zoom, because the campus, to that professor's understanding, the campus will be closed. And that's also our understanding, is that campus will be closed until Wednesday, and that we might not be able to have access to things until Thursday. It's mostly empty on campus. I think a lot of students recognize that the school is off for the day, but there are a lot of people entering campus still to attend the protest and to be outside. Like I said in one of the interviews, they're calling people who are standing outside of the Siemens Hall in solidarity to move inside. All the doors to the Siemens Hall building have been blocked from the inside and outside with chairs and desks and different furniture. Like picnic tables have been stacked up. There's a lot of flags, Palestinian flags, up on campus, and some different graffiti. Or I don't know if I'd call it graffiti, but different messages written in paint on walls. Call it what you will.
And at this time, he says police presence is minimal.
From what I've heard, the police have not done more since they left than some patrolling. But I really cannot say. I don't know how this is going to, what the resolution might be for the students who are have put themselves inside in protest. Yeah, I don't know. It got pretty hectic between the police and the protesters. I know that multiple people were arrested. There's a photo I have of a student who, there's a bump, and there's, I also saw a student with like a lesion on his head from being in an altercation. They received first aid from other students inside. Relieved that the police are not there and that the students inside are being safe. I know there's concerns about fire. If there's a fire and all the doors are blocked, then people are rightfully concerned that there could be a loss of life if there is any emergency that happens. Obviously, not everyone's going to be, there's no safety plan in place for if there's an emergency that happens inside. But from talking with people through the window this morning and this afternoon, it seems like they're being safe, not using open flames, and only eating prepared foods and not like cooking in there. So that's what I have.
At this time, it's believed that 3 students have been arrested, although their names and charges remain unclear as of news time. In closing, Leone says the community can stay informed by following El Lenador on social media. KMA News reached out to the university and its president, Tom Jackson, for additional comment. However, our request has not been answered as of news time. Arcata Mayor Meredith Matthews, however, emailed the following statement, quote, as stated in the city's resolution to support a ceasefire in the Middle East, Arcata is a community that rejects violence, hate speech, and racism of any kind. Arcata will always support free speech and the right to peacefully protest. This past year, by and large, those speaking out to condemn the violence on both sides of Israeli-Palestinian war have modeled the value of peaceable treatment of others that they seek to achieve in the world. I will continue to support the individual's right to freedom of expression while emphatically condemning the few in our community that call for violence, engage in physical intimidation, and hateful anti-Semitic rhetoric. End quote. Some members of Cal Poly faculty have called for a teach-in tomorrow on the quad. That's expected to take place from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. KMA News will continue to share updates.
And armed robbery occurred at the Chandelier drive-thru tree in Leggett last Saturday evening. The 18-year-old clerk of the toll booth was held up at gunpoint. In an interview with Redheaded Black Belt drive-thru tree employee Leanne St. Clair shared her account of what happened during the robbery.
I was just getting off of my shift and I heard the phone ring and my daughter ran in and said, there's a man with a gun and he just robbed the toll booth. Jenny just called. You need to get over there now. So I ran to my car. I drove over here as fast as I could. I didn't see him. He was long gone. She was just in shock, crying. And I grabbed hold of her, made sure she was okay. I called my daughter and told her to get the money out of the registers at the gift shop and either, and then get it into the back room just in case he was to go over there because he ran off on foot. And he came from behind the toll booth and then he left behind the toll booth. I called 911 as soon as I checked Jenny to see if she was okay. I was on the phone with her. I was on the phone with my manager. My daughter, she told everyone there was a man with a gun in the park and they could get locked into the gift shop with her or they could leave, and everybody decided to leave. So my daughter barricaded herself in the middle room, the cash box.
St. Clair told us that Jenny, the toll booth clerk, relayed that she was confronted by the armed man who threatened her directly. He put the gun in her face and cocked it. Jenny did the exact right thing. She put her hands up. She just opened up the drawer and gave him the money, St. Clair said. During the terrifying ordeal, Leanne's daughter Penny, who was working at the gift shop, hid with the cash drawer inside an interior room until the sheriffs arrived. After taking the cash from the toll booth, the robber fled on foot. However, Leanne and other Leggett residents heard gunfire-like noises, making them more frightened, until it was discovered the noise likely came from the robber's getaway vehicle of choice.
Outside, I'm hearing what sounded like gunfire. And then on Facebook, she heard what sounded like gunfire going into South Leggett. And she ran out and looked, and it was someone on an ATV, and it was just backfiring. She thought somebody was shooting guns, and this guy just raced past her, down past the two bridges, going further into South Leggett.
Video surveillance from the toll booth and surveillance from a nearby market led to locals identifying the suspect, though the Mendocino County Sheriff's said no confirmed identification has been made as of Monday, April 22nd.
But people say, oh yeah, I've seen him at the grocery store. He buys beer here. Men dumb enough that he used his Apple Pay, the store, his information on it, and then he comes here.
Though the suspect was wearing a mask during the robbery, he was caught on video surveillance prior to the drive-thru tree robbery at a nearby market without the mask.
They downloaded all the images. We've got 8 cameras here in the booth. He was wearing a mask, of course, when he was doing all this, but the same red shirt, orange jeans, same shoes from where he wasn't wearing a mask at the store.
The terrifying ordeal has left Leanne's daughter, Penny, also 18, and Jenny, very upset.
My daughter bought a taser this morning off of Amazon. Jenny, she's out in the woods right now taking a hike because these two girls are not doing okay.
As well as Leanne herself, wondering if the robber may return.
I'm on edge. I've been looking behind my back all day.
The Mendocino County Sheriff are investigating this robbery. Anyone with any information should contact the Mendocino Sheriff's Dispatch Center at 707-463-4086. If an arrest is made, we will keep you updated right here on Redwood Community Radio's KEMA News. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. And thanks to our engineer, Katie Phillips. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, for Lauren Schmidt, Lisa Music, good night.